Hey friends, Ruth Jo Simons here. Welcome to season two of the Grace Likes podcast. We hope you enjoyed the first season as much as we did. Thank you to so many of you who have listened, subscribed, and shared. We're so grateful that you're joining us week by week and can hardly believe we get to start a second season together. This season, we're talking about everyday habits that will help us grow in our walk with Jesus. We're not approaching these habits from a fix-it perspective because we definitely don't have all the answers, but we do hope these conversations about rhythms and patterns and spiritual disciplines encourage you wherever you are. To kick us off, let me ask you a question. What conversation do you look forward to the most each day? Today, we're exploring what the best conversation of our day should be. So let's get started.
Okay, Ruth, the best convo of our day. What in the world are we even talking about today?
Well, I live with seven people, as you know, Eve, and there's a lot of chatter going on all day long. And so, yeah, we called this episode the very best convo of our day because we are talking about the spiritual discipline of prayer. The very best conversation of our day should and can be when we're praying. And I don't know that we always think of it that way, right? So often we think of prayer, let's just be honest, I'll get this out of the way real early in this podcast, that when you think of the word prayer, I sometimes feel like we immediately think of duty or like I ought to, or I've got this issue, I need to go to like pray about it. But we forget that prayer is an invitation to have a conversation with the most important being, the most important person in our lives. And that's Christ. That's the Trinity. That's God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who we get to commune with. And do you usually think of prayer that way?
Yeah, I think that I have thought about it in many different ways over time, right? I think it often feels a little bit intimidating, or like you said, that duty kind of,
sure.
People start to talk about prayer and you're like, ooh, I know I should do that more than I do probably. And maybe I could do it better or different. Mm-hmm. Maybe it feels a little bit hard or a little boring sometimes. Like if we're really honest, like, oh, I'm just going to go and say the things that I've heard other people say, or it feels intimidating to pray in front of a large group. Like, I think there's lots of feelings that come to the table when we talk about prayer.
And I think the other thing that makes it kind of intimidating or, and if you're listening in right now and you're like, I love prayer, then you're our person.
We love
like,
you.
I love it. But I just felt like maybe I should just be honest right up at the top of the hour here and make sure that if you are listening in and you're like, wow, I've never really had a consistent habit of prayer, that this would be an encouraging episode, that this would be an encouraging conversation,
yes,
for me and you, and inviting those who are listening, that sometimes for people wired like me, we want to do things that feel really productive. Like you get instant results for doing it. And think about all the things that give us a sense of instant
gratification.
Yeah. Like if you text a friend and you say, do you like my outfit? And she says, you're super cute. Oh my goodness. I love that outfit. In fact, I want to borrow it. Well, that instantly makes you feel pretty good. Or yeah, if you're like, I got to make a decision. Is it one, two, or three? Help me decide. And you go poll your 10 friends, mm-hmm, and they come back and the majority says, go with option one. Then you instantly feel like, wow, I nailed this. I got this done.
Yeah.
Check. We're done. But prayer isn't an instant hotline to an immediate fix and an immediate answer. And so I think there are times when we are either deterred and afraid because we don't know what prayer is really supposed to be about, or we're sinful and disobedient and not coming to the Lord because we would rather turn into our own devices. So I think both reasons, or just simply being so busy that you forget. I think those are all reasons why we can stay away from the habit of prayer.
Yeah, for sure. And it's interesting too, because I think about like prayer is a big part of what Jesus does in the Gospels, right? Like he, in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it talks about Jesus praying something like almost 40 times. And so it's not something that is optional. I think that's what it feels like often. Like, well, I can pray if I really need it. Right. Or I know that God is there when I have a really big problem. There's this really great quote by Martin Luther. He said, "As it is the business of tailors to make clothes and of cobblers to mend shoes, so it is the business of Christians to pray."
That's good.
I know. And when I think about that, and I think about the example that Jesus gives us about how many times he goes away to talk with his Father about a myriad of things, I'm sure, like thinking of the most like kind of famous ones of like when he asks God, like, is this cup what I have to have? Like, can it pass? Mm-hmm. So like these really like heart-wrenching things. But also sometimes it's like he's with the crowd and he just needs to get away and go talk mm-hmm. to his Father. All of those examples should inspire us on some level, right? To say like, yeah, like it's just a normal part of everyday life. So when we think about even this whole season, I want to think about, yeah, how does prayer infiltrate my everyday life so that I don't always think of it as, well, I have this big thing or I need to spend an hour and go and sit. Those times are wonderful when they're available, but in my everyday life, I'm not spending an hour every day quiet in the morning with my coffee.
You're not? Okay. So you, as a mama to 3 kids under 4, 2 of which are twins.
Yeah.
Why don't you share what prayer has looked like in previous seasons or your current season?
Yeah. I think the best way that I pray right now is by writing prayers because I really have to focus. Like, I will get distracted by a million things and I still get distracted sometimes if I'm writing, but at least I can come back and remember like where I was and kind of pick back up again. So spending time writing is good. Also, just like the pockets of the day. So trying to be really intentional about even praying at meals with my kids. So, and not just doing the like, thank you for our lunch. Amen. Like trying to really pray and like talk to God about our day, what's going on, helping kind of set that example for my kids, but really like talking to the Lord for my own soul at those times that we already have set up.
That's really good because I think also when we learn to pray aloud with our people, whether that's with a roommate or a spouse or your kids or in your community group, you actually, I mean, you're not scripting that. You're not choosing to like, you're not faking anything. You're learning and practicing what can feel difficult and what takes practice. It takes practice to verbalize and to put into words something that's from your heart. And it's not always easy. And I do think that it helps, especially as a mama, for our kids to hear how we won't do it perfectly. We are sharing personally, and that we are putting our requests before the Lord in the same way that Jesus, you know, ultimately famously gave us his template for how to pray. You know, we're doing that as well, teaching our kids and teaching ourselves as we practice. What is it to pray? Is it coming storming in the room and being like, God, I need this. Now, there are times when we straight up say, God, I'm showing up right now. I need this. Help me get there on time. Or, oh my goodness, I'm so scared. Of course, those are real prayers too. But I think in our everyday lives, what we're cultivating is a habit and a practice and a rhythm that reminds us that this is part of everyday normal life, not just when we're in a pickle. And I would say, you know, I love that you shared for the mama who might have young kids as well, that it might take something intentional, like journaling it out or writing it out. I haven't done that yet, Eve, but I might want to try that now that you mention it. which, by the way, is this a quick, good segue to say, I, as you know, partnered with Crossway to do the English Standard Version, the ESV Scripture Prayer Journals, where we pray the scriptures and then we journal our prayers. And so those are coming out. So anyway, just a quick plug, because honestly, that is a needed tool. And so I'm excited that my artwork is on those prayer journals that Crossway is coming out with. But anyway, I want to share what I am doing lately. I'll share first of all where I want to grow, and then I'll tell you what I'm actually doing. So I really want to grow in closet prayer. I want to grow in the kind of prayer where I like stop for, like we said, an hour and actually like focus on prayer.
Go for it.
So that's really, you'll probably hear me share a little bit takeaway by the end of this hour. But I really want to grow in that, because right now what my prayer life looks like is it's a constant conversation. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. I think that's legit. I think that's real. And that's a good way to pray. I just think that we have to have both, right? So what this discipline looks like for me is that first thing in the morning, and I've confessed this before, but sometimes first thing in the morning even looks like unhappily waking up at 4 a.m. or 3:30 in the morning with a worry or an anxious thought that suddenly I wake up and I'm like, oh goodness, now I'm worried about this. And sometimes I fall back asleep and sometimes I don't. And it's learning to say, okay, if I feel this need, if I feel this pressure, whether it's after a complete night's sleep or not, the discipline in my life is I'm learning to not turn to my phone or even talk to Troy first and turn over and say, let's tackle these issues, but to talk to the Lord before my feet even hit the ground. So usually what that looks like first thing in the morning, and typically a good morning for me is I wake up at 5:30 or 6 and I just in the dark, just lay there. And before I even reach for my phone, check the time, all those things, I just say, Lord, good morning. You know that I feel weak already. Like it's the first moments of the morning. And I already feel like I'm behind. Mm-mm. You've got to have this day. I need to remember that this day is yours and not mine. Yeah. This is not for me to suddenly go and tackle and show myself enough here. Would you make this day be a day that reminds me that you are in control, you're Lord of all, and that you put me here on purpose for a purpose. And that's just a very simple prayer that continues on. And when I start my day with a conversation with the Lord, I also don't just get up and immediately go, glad you heard from me. But I sit for a little while and say, Lord, what are you impressing on my heart? Because a conversation is one where you listen both ways.
Right.
And that goes into time with the Lord. And it may not be that I immediately get to read my Bible. And full disclosure, I actually read my Bible when my eyes can open sufficiently later on in the morning and later on the day. But first thing in the morning, I actually listen to audio Bible. So when my eyes are still kind of like gritty and I'm feeling a little tired, after that early prayer with the Lord, that conversation continues by me hitting play on audio Bible. And what I do is actually every day in the Word with the ESV app. And so the thing that I just want to make sure I'm communicating here is there's not one right way to do it. It's that it's a conversation, and the conversation is me being vulnerable with the Lord, asking for help, but also being willing to listen to what He has to say. And that comes through both being quiet, but also being willing to listen to the Word of God and allow His Word to speak to me as I'm asking in my need.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point and so helpful to be reminded of, because if we talk about prayer being a conversation all the time, but we don't usually call one person talking a conversation, right? Like if I just get up and start talking, we call that a monologue. Yes. And nobody is super interested in that. If we really want it to be conversation, then you're right. There has to be like two ways. Like I am both speaking and I am listening. And so I think that's a key piece that we miss of prayer, where it's like, okay, check off the box. Like I said, all my requests, I told the Lord all the things on my heart and I'm done. Mm-hmm. And that's not conversation. Like there has to be that time to kind of just like rest and listen and let His Word wash over you. And, and that is part of prayer. What would you say Scripture in general has taught you about prayer or about how to pray?
Yeah. I think of two instances that kind of two scriptures that repeatedly remind me that prayer is something of persistence, not once a year or once a month when something
big
deal, one time a week when I'm real stressed, I'm going to finally go pray. But I think about how Colossians 4:2 is continue steadfastly in prayer. That's assuming that you're already praying and you're not going to quit. To be steadfast is to be persistent. Or 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing, right? Yeah. I mean, that's a hard one, because when you think about those two scriptures, you're basically reminded that Paul is saying, he's basically telling you, don't give up.
Yeah, keep going.
But he wouldn't have to put that in writing if that came to us naturally. He wouldn't have to write to the Colossians or the Thessalonians and say, pray, continue steadfastly in prayer, don't give up. He wouldn't have to say, pray without ceasing if it was something where, wow, it was just part of our, you know,
they were just doing it.
Yeah, we received the Holy Spirit and we can't help but just commune and pray and talk to the Lord all day, every day. I wish it were easy to do that. But the truth is, this side of heaven, our sinful natures, we have to fight the tendency to turn to the quick fixes, turn to the things that give us an immediate sense of gratification, like we talked about, or we have to fight that sense of, even sometimes it might be that we have guilt or shame that we're not dealing with the gospel. We're not dealing with the truth of God's word. We're kind of staying away. And I think I've said this before, and I wrote about it recently, in my latest book, When Striving Cease, that an inaccurate idea of who God is and what his character is would cause me to stay away. Because if I think he's not really pleased with me, he thinks I haven't read my Bible enough, I failed on all these things, and I wasn't really patient with my kids, so now I don't really feel like I can come to him in prayer. That is one of those things where you may stay away and you may not continue steadfastly because you actually don't remember the truth of who God says he is, which is why if you start and read the book of Colossians or you read the book of 1 Thessalonians, you find that Paul is really keen to make sure you know how you were saved and who God is, because we got to start there. I always say this, I feel like a broken record, but if the higher view we have of God, the greater you know who he is and his love and his mercy and his kindness, the greater you understand the invitation of his grace, the more everything else falls into place, including the habit and the rhythm and the discipline of prayer. So if we want to continue steadfastly, as it says in Colossians 4:2, or pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we will have to do that by preaching the truth to ourselves, implementing the truth that God welcomes us because of Jesus, because of the blood of Christ. We are forgiven and free, and we can step into the throne room of grace over and over and over again, and we can persevere in prayer even when we don't feel like it, even when we're not sure if it's exactly, if we're doing it right, and we're not sure if he's hearing. We know he is because he says so.
Yeah, and because even thinking about the relationship that precedes prayer and conversation, right? Like, God is our Father, we are his children. And if you think about the relationship between a parent and child, like, of course that parent wants to hear what their child is thinking about, struggling with, wrestling with. They want to help. It's not like they're like, oh, stay away. Like, please don't. I mean, sometimes we're like, please don't talk, I just need silence. But the heart of a parent toward a child is one that's really inclined to bend low, to listen, to know what's going on, to help with that situation. And so, yeah, I think how we approach, or how, like you said, how we see the Lord and understand our position to him can totally change what our prayer life is like. I think another piece of scripture that really has taught me a lot about prayer on the whole is just reading the Psalms more regularly. There's so many examples of prayers in those, right? Like prayers that David is praying, that other writers are praying to God, and just you get to read it. It's like you get to peek into the prayer closet with their like deep, angsty, emotion-laden prayers about what's going on.
And it helps us feel really normal, right?
Yes.
Because sometimes God feels distant. Sometimes, I don't know, I think the psalmist is pretty clear that he sometimes prays prayers where he feels like, are you even helping here? Is this fair? Have you left me?
How long will you be away?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a pretty honest prayer, right?
Yeah.
So what have, I don't know, what do you do, Eve? What do we do in moments when prayer feels hard and God feels distant?
Honestly, I really do come back to the Psalms pretty often. I can think of even a couple of years ago of the season that was really intense. There's a lot of grief in my heart, a lot of unknowns. And it was like, I know that I need to go to the Lord and I don't even know where to begin. Like, I am overwhelmed by life. And so I thought, well, let me see if other people's words will help give life to what I'm thinking about. And it was amazing. I literally just sat down one afternoon and started in Psalm 1 and just started reading and was like, okay. And I can go back. I wish I had the Bible with me that it was marked in, but I remember writing in the margins, like March of 2020, like this was the words that I needed. So I think when it feels hard for me or God feels distant, I often will come to the Psalms, and there's a few favorites, you know, that I'll go to. Psalm 16 is one of my favorites to jump to. Psalm 37. There are a few that I know will comfort my heart, but it's really crazy to me how, I mean, God's word is alive, right? So to read a prayer that somebody else wrote and feel like, man, that is really expressing the emotion and giving words to what my heart feels and also how I want to trust the Lord in this particular situation.
God is so kind that he allowed the preservation of both songs of ascent and songs of lament, right?
Yes.
It's not just that the Psalms were a bunch of like, God is so faithful. We win the war. The victory is ours always.
Yeah.
Like, you know, being God-fearing people always leads to victory. It's not all that. It's oftentimes like, I feel crushed. I feel alone.
Yeah.
I feel hounded. And we all understand and relate to that even you know, thousands of years later. And so it is the mercy of God that we can turn to scripture and have and borrow the words of other lovers of God and say, okay, I'm going to borrow these words because I don't have the words. And, you know, we also read in Romans that the Spirit intercedes for us, right? That we are, we are being carried, and that when we are groaning and there's nothing left in us, and we're kind of, because here we're talking about normal everyday lives.
Yeah.
But the fact is there's somebody listening who's probably going through a normal that looks like grief, death and dying and pain and a diagnosis that they weren't prepared for. There is real pain that's happening in all of our lives. And sometimes that is what's normally going on right now. And so when we read at the end of Romans 8, that even our groanings, like, I mean, when we don't have but groaning, that the Spirit will go to the throne room on our behalf and really like carry us to the presence of God. And
that is just, okay, we have to pause because that is the craziest thing to really think about, like the enormity of that gift to our souls. Like I don't know why, but hearing you just like describe it there just feels like totally overwhelming in the best way. Like that when I don't know what to do and it feels hard, that I don't even know what to pray, like God knew that we would face those situations and those types of scenarios, and he has provided exactly what we need in that. Like he has given us his Spirit who can carry us through that moment.
Yeah, it's Romans 8. I mean, the whole chapter is so good, but I'll just quickly read Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I got to just finish. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. I think that should just give us great hope that ultimately, because he's called us to salvation, if you are a brother or sister in Christ, when we are Christ followers, the seal of the Holy Spirit is one where we don't have to prove ourselves as we walk into the throne room of grace, that we don't even need to have the perfect words, that the Spirit is interceding for us, and we're not separated ever, even when our hearts are achy and we're struggling and we're weak. I got to read, it made me think about how, as we were talking about, just what to do, how to pray when things are difficult. And I want to just confess that in previous seasons, when things thankfully, I feel like I haven't done this in a long time, but I remember, since you were talking about a previous season in your life, Eve, I remember several years ago when maybe the most disappointing set of circumstances were going on in my life. Like the details obviously don't matter, but I felt they don't matter because we don't all have the same circumstances, but it felt so deeply grieving. I felt so betrayed and like the loss was so heavy in my life, but I didn't want to talk to the Lord about it. I literally was just like feeling kind of angry and grumpy, and I stayed away. But I think what's so interesting is what I learned through that season was the very thing that I read. So Donald Whitney writes in the book Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life, which is a book that our team went through recently and which really inspired this episode, this season of the podcast, reminding us to process all that we learned and talk about what are everyday habits that we can implement. And so there you go. That's why we're in this topic for this season. But he writes this. He says, when there is little awareness of real need, there is little real prayer. Okay, stop and think about that. He's basically saying, if you don't feel great need, you're probably not really praying.
Yeah.
And so need and that feeling of like, I'm totally weak, I'm totally broken, I feel deeply like I'm about to fall apart, that's meant to be the mercy that drives you to the throne of grace. That's meant to be the very thing that God uses as invitation to say, I've been here all along. I invite you to this conversation. This is going to be the most important conversation of your day. And I want to walk with you. And so when I chose to stay away, I was missing out on the very moments in which God was trying to find, was trying to display to me and put his faithfulness on display. Those were the very times that he wanted to say to me, look, my word is enough. My presence is enough. My love is enough. You don't have to have all your circumstances work out perfectly for you to experience how great and how enough God's faithfulness truly is. And so because I've learned that lesson over the years, now when it's really hard, this quote and the way this plays out really is what causes me to pray when I realize, wow, I'm really aware of my great need.
Yeah.
And that now I realize this great need is meant to drive me to a life of prayer.
So it's the invitation.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So that's a lot of things. I feel like even after our conversation today, I'm going to go away and keep thinking how does this play out? Yeah. But as we like to do at the end of each episode, there's a couple questions we want to ask. So the first one is, what is the gospel truth from this episode and why does it matter? And the second one is, what is one small thing that you can do in response to that gospel truth? Like, we're not talking change your entire routine in life, but just like one small step that is going to help over time change the trajectory of your walk with Christ. So Ruth, what do you think? Gospel truth.
I think the gospel truth here is that Jesus paid the price and redeemed us so that we would never be separated from God, our Father, and that we would forever have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us, which means our invitation to the throne room of grace, to the conversation with God, is secured and sealed. And so our qualification to pray and to talk to God isn't because we have a good track record or we've done things right, or we had a good quiet time this morning, so therefore we can end in good prayer.
Right.
Our welcome to pray and to have that conversation with him today is because Jesus did all that we could not do to secure us to himself. And that is the gospel.
Yeah.
What about for you? Any other thoughts?
No, I think you really summed it up well there. Yeah, I just think like, yeah, the relationship is what makes conversation rich. Like you and I wouldn't have really great conversation if we had no relationship, right? So the same thing applies to our walk with the Lord. Like the relationship that he's established on our behalf with himself is what gives us the privilege of conversation.
No, I think you said it better. That's good. That's really good. Okay, so what's your one small thing?
Well, you know, it's funny. I think I'm going to borrow the thing that you already do. I really like mornings are a tough time. I am in the season of people in my house being awake multiple times a night, and mornings for me, the alarm goes off and it is not my favorite time of day. Mm-hmm. And so I really think before I even like open my eyes, think about anything else for the day, I really need to just talk to the Lord, even if it's just for a few minutes, to say like, yep, Lord, the day is yours. I want what you want. And just to kind of start with the conversation, instead of getting into the day and then realizing at breakfast, like, oh, we're going to pray for our food. And I have yet to really talk to the Lord at all.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I feel intimidated to tell you my one small thing. I really think I'm going to try this week to schedule. I hope it grows to be more than one dedicated hour a week, but I'd like to put it on my calendar to really have an hour of concentrated prayer where I pray the scriptures and I write it down. And since you, my dear, are my executive director and executive assistant who takes care of my schedule, we're going to carve that time out together, and I'm going to have you
put it on
my
calendar.
Actual calendar so that, I mean, because I am praying all the time, but that kind of concentrated prayer time where I really like sit down and write things out and I really take one thing at a time before the Lord, and pray beyond what's going on in my everyday life. I want to start getting better about that. And hopefully, you know, a few seasons from now, if we revisit this topic, hopefully by then I'll have grown to several more hours a week. So that's my one small thing. It feels a little bit big right now, but I feel like it's a pretty small thing just to put 1 hour on a weekly schedule.
Yeah, I love that. And I will gladly help you find the space. Well, friends, we are so glad that you joined us today for this conversation about prayer. And we're so excited to keep this season going as we explore these different habits that we think really make an impact on our walk with Jesus. And we're not trying to say like, hey, do it this way, or here's the formula, the best way to do it. We really just genuinely want to encourage you in your walk, to think about the habits as we have been as a team. And so I can't wait for our next conversations about these different things that we have seen major impact. So thank you so much. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you share it with a friend, that you leave a review for us. We are so grateful for your kind words of encouragement in that review section. And if you're looking for a practical resource to implement or facilitate the best conversation of your day, you can head over to gracelace.com and find the 2 ESV Crossway prayer journals about humility and the gospel that Ruth mentioned earlier in the episode. Thanks so much.
We'll see you next time.